breath is something very close to your awareness. As you breathe in, breathe out, it's right here. And so you'd think it'd be very easy to follow, to stay with the breath. But the mind is like a camera lens whose focal length keeps changing. It's focused here for a bit, then it's focused someplace else, then someplace else, then back here again. They've done studies to show that a moment of attention is just that. It's just a few moments. If you want to watch something continually, you have to learn how to stitch those moments together. Otherwise, you can't make sense out of things. Or the sense you make out of things is just a very rough estimate. So you want to be able to stitch them together very closely. Those moments of attention. This is what mindfulness is for. To keep reminding you to stay here with the breath, with the breath, with the breath. The Buddha recommends that you use two other qualities along with the mindfulness: alertness, which is watching what's actually going on, then ardency. Ardency is the effort you put into it to keep reminding yourself, breath, breath, breath. This is one of the reasons why they often use a meditation word to go along with the breath. A traditional one is butto, but with the in-breath, to with the out. Butto means awake. It's actually the term that the Buddha used to describe himself as someone who's awake. It's a quality of mind you want to develop. And you can use the word as a marker to remind yourself you're going to stay here with the in-breath and with the out-breath, then with the in-breath again, then the out-breath again. Because it's only when the mind gets to settle down that it can let down some of its tension, so it's not constantly ready to jump. And so that you can focus consistently on something, really see it for what it is, what the connections are. In other words, how the mind has an impact on the breath, how the breath has an impact on the mind, how the breath has an impact on different parts of the body. Lots of things can be learned if you stay here consistently. So you need to keep reminding yourself, this is where you want to stay. And the Buddha compares different parts of the practice to a farmer's different implements. Mindfulness is the goad. Now, the goad is what you use to poke your animal with. Say you've got a water buffalo pulling your plow. And the buffalo starts turning off to the right, to the left, not in the direction you want to go. You take the goad, which is this long stick with a little point on the end, and you poke it to remind it that there's work to be done and this is where you want the work to go. So mindfulness is there to keep reminding you, stay with the breath, stay with the breath. Another analogy the Buddha uses is of a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is at a fortress at the very edge of a frontier. And there are friendly people coming in or want to come into the fortress, and there are also unfriendly people who want to come into the fortress. And the gatekeeper has to know who's who. Let in the people who are trustworthy and keep out the people who are not. So mindfulness is not just accepting whatever comes up. It's there to remind you. There's a skillful direction and there's an unskillful direction that the mind can go at any time. And you want to keep it on the skillful direction. Now, to strengthen mindfulness, the Buddha said there are two qualities you need. One is virtue, and the other is right view. Virtue strengthens mindfulness because if you're observing the precepts, you're not harming anybody. You're not harming yourself, you're not harming your friends, you're not harming anybody at all. So that when you reflect on your actions, there's no remorse, there's no regret. people who have a lot of remorse and regret have learned how to put those things out of their mind. They've done studies to show that people can get very good at forgetting things. So good that it becomes subconscious. But because the mind then becomes talented at forgetting, it gets harder and harder to maintain your mindfulness. The mind has all kinds of tricks for slipping off, changing the focal length of that camera lens, and thinking that's just the most natural thing to do. So one way of strengthening mindfulness is to make sure that your behavior is not the sort that you're going to regret. This is why there's no clear line between the practice of virtue and the practice of meditation. This also strengthens your mindfulness in the sense that if you keep your precepts in mind, you have certain principles that you're going to follow. You're not going to kill, you're not going to steal, you're not going to have illicit sex, you're not going to lie, you're not going to take intoxicants. You keep those things in mind. The easiest of the precepts to break, of course, is the one about lying. And so you have to be really on top of your speech. So your words don't just come out on their own without anything to monitor them. So in developing that quality of being able to monitor, that's how you strengthen mindfulness. As for right view, mindfulness on its own has to have some explanations for what it's doing. It's not just a matter of brute willpower that you tell yourself, okay, stay here, stay here, stay here. You have to have your reasons. Why are you staying here? What are you trying to do as you stay here? This is where right view comes in, to remind you you're staying here because this is the part of the path to the end of suffering. It's learning how to develop concentration. And the path to the end of suffering is something you want to develop. That's why you're training the mind. You're also training the mind because the path to cause suffering is something the mind is very adept at. You know, keep yourself from wandering off into that path. That's something you want to let go. So there are duties you have to do here. There's something to be done. You're not just sitting here passively accepting experience as it comes along. You're actively shaping it. That's something you have to understand, too. An important part of developing the steps to mindfulness of breathing is understanding the process of what the Buddha calls fabrication. It's the way the mind shapes things through its intentions. There was once a monk who said he practiced mindfulness of breathing simply by letting go of the past, letting go of the future, and just staying focused on the present. And the Buddha said there is that kind of breath meditation, but it doesn't give the results. It doesn't give the best results. Then he set out 16 steps. And a repeated feature of those 16 steps is that you see the different ways in which you're fabricating your experience, and then you learn how to do it more skillfully as you're breathing in, as you're breathing out. In particular, the Buddha focuses on three things. One is the way the breath fabricates your experience of the body. When you breathe in, where do you feel it? Is the breath comfortable? Could you make it more comfortable? How can you make the influence of the breath on the way you feel the body more positive? How can you get it to be calm so that it feels soothing to breathe in, soothing to breathe out, and soothing both for the body and then into the mind? The other type of fabrication is what the Buddha calls mental fabrication, and that's two things, perception and feeling. Feeling is the feelings of pleasure or pain, or neither pleasure nor pain. Of course, that relates to the way you breathe. Some ways of breathing have an impact on the level of pleasure or pain in the body. And pains in particular have an impact on the way you breathe. Sometimes you're holding a pain in one part of the body for fear that it'll spread. So you tense up around it. And as you tense up around it, that's going to have an impact on the way you breathe. You're actually cutting off the breath energy to that part of the body. And it's going to make the breath a less and less pleasant experience itself. And you're getting this bad feedback loop. This is one of the reasons if you find that you're breathing around a part of the body that you're avoiding, consciously try to breathe into it. Or if you're trying to pull the breath past something, breathe into that as well. Because sometimes you get the habit of holding on to a particular part of the body, even when the pain is gone. You may have noticed this, and if you hurt your foot and you start developing a limp, sometimes the limp is still with you even after the pain in the foot has gone away. This is one of the reasons why we survey the whole body, to get a sense of where the breath is being blocked, where it's being held back. And then consciously think of breathing into that. This is where perception comes in, the other mental fabrication. What kind of picture do you have of the breathing process? When you breathe in, what pulls the breath in? Is there anything you have to push against or pull against? That's going to create tension right there. How about thinking of the breath simply as energy flowing through all the nerves? It's already flowing. It's simply a matter of allowing it to flow better. As you breathe in, the breath comes in and out the pores. You don't have to pull it in through the nose or pull it past any tension, say, in your neck or your chest, or fight with any tension in your abdomen. Think of the breath energy penetrating all these things and nourishing them very directly. You don't have to go past them, go right into them. See what that perception does. So you've got these three elements here: breath, feeling, perception, and they have an impact on one another. So there's plenty to explore here. A lot of people find breathing a very dull thing to watch. It's just in and out, and that seems to be about it. But if you realize there's this element of perception that influences the breath, and feelings that influence the breath, and the breath influences your perceptions and feelings, you've got something to explore. That's something you want to keep in mind. Now, if that's too much to keep in mind, you just go back to just staying with breath energy and holding in mind that perception of the breath energy as this energy that flows easily in, flows easily out. And it's soothing, refreshing. And as you find it easier and easier to stay there, to keep that in mind, then you can start adding the other elements, exploring other ways that you can shape the experience of breathing through your perceptions, other ways you can use the way you breathe to create a greater and greater sense of calm. Because in all these cases, the Buddha says you want to take this element of fabrication and make it more calm, make it more tranquil, soothing. As the breath gets more refined, the events in the mind, what the mind is doing, come more and more to the fore. And after all, that's what we're here. We're here to train the mind. We're using the breath as a means to train the mind. And you want to get your attention settled very clearly here in the present moment. Keep the focal length right here. Don't go zooming out or zooming away. Zoom right in on the present moment. Stay here. So you can see these things more and more clearly. So these are the qualities we're trying to develop. This is what we want to keep in mind. This is why we're focusing on the breath. So when the mind complains, it's getting boring staying with the breath, or it wants to move around a little bit, you have your reasons. It's not just ordering the mind to stay here. You have an understanding why this is important. It makes it easier and easier to strengthen your mindfulness, to make it more consistent. So it really does become a dominant factor in the mind. So you stay right here, right here. And you develop that quality of mind that monitors whether you're staying right here. And notice that you're slipping off, you refocus the mind, refocus the mind. In the beginning it may seem tedious, but it's really important. And this is where the understanding, this is where right view comes in to remind you why you're here, to give you the motivation to stick with it until you start seeing results. Then the results feed in to your ability to stay more mindful. You have to be careful, of course, when the sense of pleasure develops. It's very easy to lose your focus with the breath and move over to the pleasure. So again, you've got to remind yourself, hey, stay here with the breath. There's still work to be done. It's the mindfulness that keeps you focused. And this is why mindfulness practice and concentration practice are so intimately connected. If you didn't have this ability to remind yourself, you couldn't stay concentrated on anything for very long at all. So we're here to focus on the breath, to ferret out the breath so you can see more clearly how it's related to the other things that are very similar to it and other things that have an impact on it. Because that way we get to understand the mind, and the more we understand the mind, the more clearly we can distinguish between the cause of suffering and the path to the end of suffering. And keep ourselves more and more consistently on the path.